Hello and welcome to the NDA podcast. It's always Media Thursday with me, Justin Pierce, the editor, and...
me, Andy Oakes, the publisher. We're in a new studio.
Our old studio shut down, which is very sad, but that's kind of the curse of Soho Rents, I guess.
A curse of Soho, which is why we're moving. But we don't. Yeah. That's a secret.
That's a secret. Anyway, let's talk about what we normally talk about. As usual, this is a week's ramble through a week in digital media marketing. So, and again, as is boringly traditional, I'll turn to Andy and say, so Andy, publisher of New Digital Age, what's been going on this week?
Okay, I'm going to split this into two sections. I'm going to talk about some stuff that we're doing. Well, let's talk big platform news.
Okay.
So, Google is an interesting one. They've been hit with a huge €250 million fine. Huge in normal people's terms. Perhaps not quite so much for Google. Why have they been hit with such a huge fine? Well, this is, they've been failing to comply with a previous order from the French Competition Authority because they genuinely don't seem to care. So it turns out there was no way for publishers to opt out of the Google Bard AI program. And the other reason there was no way to opt out of it because Google didn't tell the publishers it existed in the first place. So Google have been hit with €250 million. And I just think they'll ramble on. I don't think they care.
I mean, this is it's an ongoing story. They're hit by a fine, they get another fine.
Yeah.
Look, we talk to people that are deep in this, and there's very many people that are convinced that the breakup is coming. You know,
yeah.
If you talk to people that are deep in European law, which definitely isn't us, sorry for that, listeners, that so something is coming, but I think these continual big stories don't do that much.
We have heard rumours, haven't we? And of course, that was the EU, who would do that, not France. But more in EU news, Margrethe Vestager, who's the antitrust chief. Now, she's issued a warning to Meta and Apple about their fee structures, which she says are not in the spirit of the newly enacted Digital Markets Act. I don't know a huge amount of that, but I'll tell you what's interesting is that the European antitrust bodies, European, France, and there's a thing happening in Germany as well, are going after the big US platforms. And the US isn't. The US is more interested in its war on TikTok at the moment. And you have to wonder whether this leaves the door open for others. Now, interestingly, today, happening any minute now, Reddit's IPO happens.
Of course.
And Reddit have been trying to get their ad business off the ground for quite a while.
They have. There's a really interesting piece this morning in Insider by
yes.
Lara O'Reilly, good friend of ours, looking at the Reddit ads business. And how she started off, which kind of shocked me, that Reddit's 20 years old. You can't believe Reddit's 20 years old.
Also,
in terms of their ads business. And look, we interviewed one of the sort of leaders in the ads business in the UK, coming out soon on an NDA podcast. But as Lara's pointing out, there always has been a bit of a challenge with advertising because the Reddit community, which is an amazingly fierce, loyal community, is often a bit antagonistic towards ads, even though the ads, when you talk to sort of the marketers behind them, can perform amazingly well. So the ad business on Reddit is an interesting one to watch.
Yeah. I mean, what was also interesting yesterday, I saw lots of people, including myself, tweeting on this, that X was hit by a massive ad thing whereby everyone was presented with an image of Zoe Ball somehow advertising crypto, which I don't think was her.
I like Zoe Ball.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind seeing an image of Zoe Ball on my Twitter feed.
I like Zoe Ball, but I don't think she was advertising crypto.
And I see, I understand.
And that was my, you know, it's a great brand safe environment. Here's Zoe Ball banging out crypto ads.
About to Reddit quickly, I did find it fascinating. And look, when I interviewed Reddit, and I admit I'm not a regular Reddit user, I'm just not. But I come across it so often when I'm just browsing for recipes, and you'll end up on Reddit. So it does have a really powerful community, and every advertiser now does want to be in such a powerful community using that authentic, it's authentic content word.
Yeah.
So it's definitely got a place. And when I interviewed the CMO at Cisco, so end of last year, she just started experimenting with Reddit and loved it, and it's a huge part of their plans in the future. So it's definitely got a place.
Talking of community, and this is almost quite a professional segue for us, WhatsApp. Many, many WhatsApp groups.
Many.
In the ad tech community. The premium one being the one run by John Walsh.
And also, the premium one, the one run by me and Fee Summon from Captify, which is Beckenham Media WhatsApp group.
The B.
Yeah.
Okay, let's leave that one just to one side for a minute because we've teamed up with John.
That's true. Lovely job.
Blue Stripe Group, who owns New Digital Age, who publishes this podcast and do all these things, has sponsored the WhatsApp group. But it's interesting, isn't it? The power of community through these things. You see the ad tech groups, he's got loads of
channels. He's got hundreds of them, hasn't he? I mean, yeah. Johnny's amazing. But yeah, you're right. Everyone exists on WhatsApp groups as much, or more so nowadays than on Twitter.
And you look at the Digital Leading Ladies WhatsApp group. We've spoken to Ellie and Lisa before, who do such an amazing job with that group, which brings together a lot of women across the industry.
Yeah, I think it is. It is. Everyone's look, community, as we all know, community is so important in this industry. This industry is built on people, and people like to be together, which is why we saw such interesting things happen post-pandemic. But although people want to be together in person, yes, they want to be together on networking groups, and WhatsApp's probably the most powerful way to do that sometimes.
Yeah, and it's a great way for people to talk, people what's going on in their jobs, people talking about what they're looking for. They are looking for jobs, issues they have, which again, professional segue number two, we've just launched a new section on the site, haven't we?
We have called Work Culture, and it came about, I mean, DigiDay run an amazing publication called Work Life, run by our good friend Jessica Davies, and it's a fantastic publication. But we were looking at all the articles we're publishing on NDA, and there's so many were hard to categorise, and they're about things to do with basically working. And this podcast, often we spend a lot of time talking about the office and back to work and all that sort of things. Yeah, so our new section is really focusing on this. And there'll be a great column from Simon Halstead this week, actually.
Yeah.
Talking about the issues potentially around going to work for someone like him. And it's all this, what is important to do with your working life that goes beyond your day-to-day job in programmatic or in creative or in media. But you know, the ins and outs of working in this industry.
Absolutely. If you haven't read Simon's column, it's in the newsletter, which goes out tomorrow, but do go and have a look at it. It's doing huge numbers, as the kids say, on the site.
Now, talking about community, we can talk about other communities, and a big community is obviously the over 50s. And the over 50s are a group, but they're not a community, but they're kind of in our industry, they weirdly are. And we have launched, or just about to relaunch, our series 50 Over 50, Rebels, Innovators, and something else I've totally forgotten, because 50 Over 50
because
was
because you're over 50.
Yeah, we could say that. But also, it was one of our first series. We launched NDA way back in time, and it was focusing on the incredible people who just happen to be over 50, a demographic we know is overlooked in society and especially in our industry. And one of the first people we featured on 50 Over 50 was the amazing Mary King Dawson, who just happens to be this week's special guest. So Mary, hi, how are you?
Hello, I'm here. Thank you very much. Yes, I'm good. Spring is in the air.
Spring's definitely in the air. Soho is buzzing with spring.
But where are you, Mary? Because you're not in Soho, are you?
No, I am in Soho. I'm walking down Old Compton Street. And there are a whole bunch of extremely attractive Gen Z Asian people queuing up outside a shop, which looks like it's having some kind of secret warehouse sale. So I was very tempted to join the queue.
If you could join the queue and tell us live what is happening and what they're selling, Mary, that would be amazing.
Well, I did ask someone, and apparently it's a secret palace sale. So, wow.
Well,
who knows?
We're going back to the portrait later, so we might go have a look at that.
Yeah. Join the queue, Justin.
Yeah, Mary, thanks for joining us. I was just saying, you were bringing back our 50 Over 50 series, and you were one of our first interviewees back in the midst of time, even though NDA itself is that old. The reason we brought it back is that the fact is, you more and more, when I'm out of the industry or when Anne's out of the industry, we're talking to people who happen to be over 50 and are still doing amazingly creative work, amazingly fantastic work, but there are still some issues they're facing sometimes with, you know, the lack of, I guess, focus and responsibility on this age group. So, look, which we talked about, we won't repeat what we talked about those few years ago, but as someone that's over 50 and has been a leader in this industry for so long, do you think that, I mean, advertising in particular, although it is doing a good job in terms of inclusivity and diversity, maybe it's not doing such a good job when it comes to ageism? What are you seeing at the moment?
Well, I think that two things. I think we're very good at telling ourselves we're doing a good job about diversity, equality and inclusion. And that's because as an industry, we love a policy and we love a process and we love a tick box. And I think, you know, we're very good at kind of like saying we've got to have quotas and we need to make sure that we have, you know, diverse young people in our organisations. I think that's true, right? I think we have been good, actually, if I'm honest. But, you know, we also have to recognise that there's still an awful long way to go. And having a menopause policy in your organisation doesn't therefore make you, you know, like you've done the job of having people, you know, in your organisation in leadership roles who happen to be perimenopausal, or for that matter, in the midst of menopause or postmenopause, if you see what I'm saying. The proof is always in the fact that you have those people around the table and are able to share their perspectives, their thinking and their lived experience. So, you know, I think that's one aspect to it. I think the second aspect to it is that there's a general feeling that, you know, I certainly have heard this from people, you know, in my own circumstances, which is, well, you've been around for so long, you know, you must be ready to kind of retire or, you know, put your feet up or whatever. That is one perspective. The other perspective is, well, you're clearly a complete and utter workaholic, and therefore, you know, you're a bad example to the rest of the company, you know, about what it is to have a good work-life balance. And as I think as a female leader who has been around a long time, you know, it is unknown territory for a lot of people that we've got this bunch of, you know, older people, especially older females who've got a lot of experience and a lot of lived and, you know, clearly running large accounts and so on, and businesses as well. That, you know, we don't really know what to do with them as an industry. You know, we haven't let the previous generation of women in particular, of my age, you know, then the former, you know, 10 years older than me, most of those people disappeared, you know, before they got to 50. They left the industry because they were not considered to be relevant. And there was a far more sexist environment then, I think, than there is now. There may still be sexism in the industry, but it's not, you know, necessarily, it's a lot less abusive, shall we put it that way. So, you know, there's an incentive to hang around because you like the people and you like the industry and you feel that you're actually able to make a difference. But I don't think that there are jobs there that there are for men. I mean, you know, I'm very fortunate. I'm the chair of BEMA. I'm also the chair of Machine Capital, and which is, you know, a venture fund in the AI space. And but I think most women of my age, my vintage, really struggle to find those kind of openings and to have those kind of conversations with organizations about, you know, them becoming a chair, even though they may have been a very successful CEO or whatever.
Mary, do you think the industry is a little bit too much enthralled to youth, to bringing young people through? Or, you know, should we be looking at people based on their merits rather than just what it says how old they are on their passport?
Well, I think as an industry, we have always been in awe of young people as consumers.
Yeah,
because we've lived in this world. I mean, many, many years ago, when you were just a twinkle in someone's eye, Andy. And
I'm
Justin.
Still a twinkle in Justin's eye.
He's a twinkle in my eye, Mary.
There was a guy, Zed Zawada. I love that name, Zed Zawada. And he was the equivalent of a chief revenue officer at EMAP Metro. Back in the day, EMAP Metro published smash hits and Just 17 and, you know, More, famous for his position of the fortnight, and, you know, all of those fantastic music mags, like, you know, I just want to think what they were called, but you know the ones I mean. Yeah. The Empire was part of it and all that. Anyway, and he tried to launch, he was a bit older than the rest of us, quite considerably older, actually. And he tried to launch a media company that basically focused on, you know, the grey market, as it was called then. And that was really, in those days, anybody who's 45 plus, okay? Now, that might sound a bit ridiculous to people listening to this podcast, that, you know, someone who's 45, years old plus, be considered to be the grey market, or, you know, but the truth is that our obsession with youth and our obsession with, you know, Gen Z obviously are, you know, they're the talk of the town, you know, and everybody wants to know what they're doing and what media they're consuming, but they're not consuming media in the ways that we are, you know, we are trying to sell media, right? They are, you know, they are on social. They are not, you know, scrolling ads on publisher sites. You know, they're not watching television. Sorry, newsflash. You know, yeah. I mean, it's a really big problem. And, you know, employing a bunch of Gen Zers in your agency, I don't think is the solution to finding out how we attract more Gen Z to the world of advertising, i.e. consuming advertising. And ultimately, that's really been our job. You know, our job is to sell brands and to shift products. And, you know, if the media channels that we're, you know, that we're using are not actually moving the needle for clients, then as an industry, we have a massive problem. And I think that's the elephant in the room. And the obsession with youth, you know, is really exactly that. It's just more, you know, it's more obsession and not enough about really how do we add value to brands and clients' experiences. In my actual, you know, day-to-day conversations that I have with brands, and I was talking to a global CMO this time last week, we were having breakfast, and she told me all she's interested in is data. She is not interested in advertising. I want to understand what consumers are doing and thinking and how they are responding to my product and the products of my competitors. Can you help me with that? And that's a good question, right? Because that's beyond advertising. That's beyond the banner. It's beyond the video. It's beyond CTV. It's beyond, you know, a 30-second thing or whatever on a TV. You know, it's beyond a cinema ad. You know, we've just got it. I feel that's really one of the biggest challenges the industry faces right now is clients are just desperate for more information about what consumers are doing because they don't seem to be engaging with advertising.
But what about the same time? And yes, this desire for data obviously is sort of prevalent. But at the same time, what's also driven the best advertising and therefore shifted the most products has been the best creativity. And one of the things that really, one of my favourite columns of recent years was by the Ad Contrarian, from Pete from 2018. And he's talking about the fact that that year, 30 or 40 or 50% of the Pulitzer Prize winners were over 50. The Academy Award winners were over 50. And the big creative industries, it's mostly the over 50s that are driving the best creative output. And in our industry, the lack of creativity is often bemoaned and, you know, looking back at the golden age of advertising. And we know that the best, most powerfully creative ads do the best work at actually shifting products. So do you think there's an issue here as well that the people with the most experience and the people with arguably the best sort of creative potential output in our industry aren't looked after as much as industries such as TV or literature or, you know, film or theatre, which advertising always tries to emulate in terms of driving and changing culture?
Yeah, I think we are, you know, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, you know, many years ago, I had a boyfriend who was an architect and, you know, he told me, he's so much similar age to me at the time we were in our 20s. And he said to me, I won't do my...
And Mary disappeared off into the ether, probably in her queue in Soho.
Yeah, that's... I mean, losing Mary in Soho is kind of a situation.
It's quite an apt way to end that section, I think. Mary struggling through Soho in a queue, just disappearing, maybe in a puff of smoke.
Well, let's see if she comes back on. But I think, you know, you can always... Mary Keane Dawson is one of the pure powerhouses of our industry. And I think everything she says is true. And it's this focus on youth that while, yeah, of course, we need to understand the future consumer territory and what the future consumer is looking for, also this lack of focus on the generations that can deliver the best creative is definitely a problem, I think.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And there's, and what we're not saying, I don't think, is old people better than young people, which we are. Well, we're saying that everybody's view needs to be considered here.
It does. That's this back to this column. It's look at the Oscars and look at the Pulitzer Prizes. This is the height of creativity, and that's been driven by the 50s.
What else is going on, Justin? What have we been up to?
Okay, well, we've got Cannes coming up soon. Obviously, I've just run, and literally, I did actually run from the Union Club up to the studio here. I've been meeting someone talking about Cannes. And Cannes coming up fast. We've got, for the first time, our own
Maison.
Maison NDA. Maison's French, as we called it, Maison NDA. But our own venue, and it's just opposite the Palais, around the corner from Amazon Port. It's in an amazing position with lots of different events there. And I think, everyone I talk to, it seems, and we say this every year, but it does seem there's more excitement around Cannes than ever.
I think it's a funny Cannes this year because it's a funny financial outlook and people are holding off. Ah, God, I need to do something quickly. And certainly our commercial team will back us up on that. It's very important for us to say that on the Wednesday of Cannes is Digital Women Wednesday at Maison NDA. And I suspect one of the topics we'll cover is, as what we've just been talking about here, is ageism in the industry. And I think, let's be honest, it affects women more than it does men.
I mean, it's funny that things go in cycles, but we launched Digital Women in Cannes 2 years ago and we did an event with Reddit. So we talked about Reddit starting this podcast. I think it's going in circles, but you're right. Digital Women's been an amazing series for us and we're going for a few years now. And it's kind of interesting that the topics that are discussed in the pages of NDA are sort of change and wax and wane, but there is this constant thread of, as Mary was saying, although the industry is doing a lot of good and putting in place initiatives and procedures, there is still this industry, there are still issues for women.
Well, it was very interesting. One of the themes of our International Women's Day lunch was, and it was highlighted by a column on the site by our good friend Ellie Edwards Scott, was that she is seeing a little bit of disinterest maybe from the industry on D&I issues maybe, and her thing was, that's last year, this year it's all about sustainability, but we can only focus on one other thing at a time, so let's not be too worried about it. And one of the things that Ellie has found is that it was very hard to get companies to financially support women's initiatives by other publishers and ourselves, and we found that as well. And but big thanks to Evening Standard and Action Rocket and InVibes and everybody that BBC Studios that did back us. But it has been harder to get people to put their head above the parapet and say, yes, we want to stand for this and we're willing to back it. And I think
it's as you say, it's not that, okay, we've done diversity, now doing sustainability, but budgets are finite.
Yes,
and
I agree.
The last couple of years have been quite sort of tight generally. So I guess if you're an agency or an ad tech firm, a publisher, then you only have a certain amount of budgets you can allocate to different areas. And this is often put in one bucket. And it's weird that sustainability and diversity should be put together, but it just kind of often is. And that's why we see the strain on budgets and the people having to, I guess, put their attention elsewhere. And interestingly, I think we discussed before when I was talking with someone recently, huge in sustainability in the UK industry. She was saying that in the States, sustainability is far less of an issue than the diversity and inclusion, which is still hugely top of the agenda in the US. So we'll see different sort of, different pressures and different focuses in different geographical territories.
The other thing I just wanted to mention, I did put it in my email column last week, that there were three men at our International Women's Day lunch, despite us saying, hey, bring an ally. Two of those were paid to be there, myself and Tyrone. But a huge shout out to James Lever, the CEO of Multilocal, who was the only paying man to attend the event. So for all of those, I was about to use the phrase keyboard warriors.
And James is actually writing a piece for us on NDA soon. About this issue, so look out.
You want to support these things, get involved. Yeah, come to these things, show your true colours, get involved. Rant over.
Good. Well, listen, that's probably coming up to our time. I guess the next few weeks are going to be focused really on getting ready for summer. We're getting ready for roof terraces. We're getting ready for rosé on roof terraces.
Linen jackets. Yeah.
And so is, I mean, I was said this walkthrough so this morning, and you can feel the atmosphere change. You can feel the atmosphere change in the industry. Yes, it's been a tough 3 years, but everyone you talk to, while budgets are under pressure, at the same time, budgets are coming back, and it's definitely not as tough as it was a year ago. So it is feeling a much rosier place, the digital media and marketing industry.
Says Justin, not an economist.
But I know about rooftops.
You do know about rooftops. And no one knows more about linen jackets than you do.
Yeah, thank you, exactly.
So on that note, listen, we're in a new studio. A nice studio. It's a really nice studio.
A nice studio. And but don't you mean about the last studio?
Well, I'm not. But the last studio had the desks were written on.
That's one of the failures here.
That we can't. The desks do not have messages on. No. So I think what we'll do is after this, we'll have to edit in some sad music for the death of the What's on the Desk game.
Definitely.
Or just make it up.
But just look, anything we've talked about today, remember that NDA is by the industry, for the industry. So please do get in touch if you want to write a piece for us on anything we've talked about, diversity, sustainability, ageism, anything. Get in touch with me or Andy.
And we have one, and it's a teaser, this one. If you're Australian and working in digital media, ad tech, publishing in the UK, we want you to get in touch with us. We're not going to tell you why just yet, but we want you to get in touch with myself or Justin because we're doing a thing.
And you might get a prize?
No.
You'll get a prize.
You'll get a prize, yeah, you'll get a prize.
But anyway, thank you so much for listening. This has been another week in digital media marketing. It's always Media Thursday with me, Justin Pearce, the editor, and...
me, Andy Oakes, the publisher.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.